I hope you mean he's a wonderful Savior. Certainly we need him, for we need to be saved. You all agree with that? And so having a Savior in our corner is a great blessing. Certainly Jesus is the Savior that we all need. If you visit with us, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're an honored guest of the audience, and we want you to leave a member of this church. Amen. We want you to leave a member of the Church of Christ, amen. Whether you worship here with us or not, you need to be in the Church of Christ to be saved. John chapter 8, you turn your Bibles, and we'll continue our study of the book of John. This one lesson continuing is chapter 8, verse 31. Ye shall be free indeed. Ye shall be free indeed. And verse number 31, the Bible says, Jesus said to those Jews
which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.
Now, Jesus makes it clear, it's conditional. The only way we can be disciples, or they could be disciples, would be continuing in his what? Word. If you continue in his word, then and only then are you his disciple. So how do we continue? First, you got to start. It starts by obedience to the gospel, by being baptized and being washed in the blood of Jesus. And once you're washed in the blood, then and only then are you on your route to follow him to be a disciple. If you continue being a disciple, you will continue by following the commands that Jesus has given to us for his disciple. One is obedience to worship and then communion and singing and praying and giving. All this we're doing this morning is a part of continuing in his word. So why should we continue? He says in verse number 32,
and you shall know the truth. And the truth
shall
make you free.
He said, you shall know the truth. And the truth, then, the word and key word in here, today we're dealing with is free. And the truth shall make you free. Knowing the truth is the only thing that make you free. In Romans chapter 6 and the verses number 16, let's go over that briefly. Paul said it like this in Romans 6 and verse 16.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey.
So here it is. It's a decision by the individual. You serve to whom you serve, whoever you choose to obey. Notice this, he says, whether
of sin unto death
or of obedience unto righteousness.
But God be thanked
that ye were the servant of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you.
And the servant of sin then being
made
once
free
upon
from
obedience,
sin,
that's when the servant of sin is free. Being then what?
Became the servants of righteousness.
Yeah, now once he's free from serving sin, he or she becomes the servant of righteousness. So here it is. Free from sin. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. What is death? Let's look at death and the eyesight of God. Death. In the eyesight of God is sin which separates us from God. When one is separated from God, this is called death. Get Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Here's where death starts at. This is the death that we're concerned about right here. Now, physical death is not the death you should be concerned about, but spiritual death. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is eternal life. The Bible says now in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses number 7, what the Bible says?
Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
So when our bodies physically die, our spirit, the animated part of me, is no longer animated when I'm in that box. Nothing is moving because there has been a separation from the body. The spirit is separated from the body, and the body is now considered dead. When a man or woman is separated from God by sin, that man or woman is considered spiritually dead. Get for me now. Let's look at this. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Man, very popular scripture if you're ever around me. You hear this a lot. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The book says there, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear.
But your iniquities have separated.
That key word is again, separation. Iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you,
that he will not hear.
So here's the problem that sin brings when we choose to serve the devil. When we choose to serve, then we'll get to that next week, the father. The father of this individual is the devil. Amen. So here's what we got to understand. This is considered spiritual devil, but the one we're concerned the most about is the second devil. Get Revelation chapter 20 now, in verse number 12. John's in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God,
and the books were open.
That's
and another book was open.
These books are going to be open on the day of judgment. And another
book
was open.
Which is the book of life.
There was a book of life which the servant of God's name will be put in the book of life. But the servant of sin, watch what happens here.
And the dead were judged out of those things which are written
in the book. Many other signs truly did Jesus and the presence of the disciples. They're not written in this book, but these that are written that you might believe. We will be judged according to the written scripture. Read on now.
The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book. According to their works.
Read.
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Uh-huh. And death and hell delivered up the dead which was in them.
All right, read.
And they were judged every man according to their works.
Read. Whatever they chose to obey.
And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire.
Here's the lake of fire. This is called hell. Brother Ross Smith said last week, when I'm preaching about hell, so I said, I better say hell a couple of times. Let's see. You can learn from a student preaching. He said, the church needs to hear more about hell. I said, he's probably right. I need to scare, you know. I almost did it, didn't I? Use that word hell. I don't like that word hell, but it's in the Bible. You got to say it again. What's the Bible say?
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Uh-huh. And this is?
It's the second death.
That's the one. So if you got one death, it'll be physical. You got John 8:21 now. John 8:21. So your life, you'll live a life, and you're born, you'll live till you die. That's called physical death. Put that over here. This one is called spiritual death. This one is called spiritual death. Spiritual death. Now, this is what sin brings to us. The way it pays a wage called death. When we live the physical life, we will live till we die. Now here's what Jesus said, John 8:21-24.
Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me.
Yeah, Jesus, now his way is heaven. He's gone to heaven there. So he's going to heaven, and the people are going to want to go to heaven when they die. Read.
And shall die in your sins.
Now they die like this, separated from God during the physical life.
Where I go, you cannot come.
Now, so where did they go? They go to hell. So if a man or woman died a physical death, they die in sin. They die the spiritual death. But the second death is eternal life. You're eternally dead. You can never have a chance. Now that we're living, we have a chance. How many of y'all like chances? Second chances. And so when we make mistakes, when we sin, we want God to forgive us because that's a second chance. But at the second death, there is no more chances to get this thing right. This is a very serious matter if you look at how all of us know. We don't know when we're going to die. We can die anytime. We can die anytime, day or night. But you don't want to die in sin. You don't want to die like this. And so sin, essentially, is when you look at servants of sin. So sin, what happened, we'll come back to that one. When you look at sin, We're actually slaves to sin, or we're imprisoned by sin. And so a prisoner or a slave has to be freed. So this is what we're looking at today. The problem we all got is that some of us are imprisoned by sin, and the sin we're living in is the sin unto death. Until you repent of that sin, you're not freed. That makes sense? And so listen to the Bible. Let's go back to John 8 now. I'm coming back to that. John 8. It's a very basic lesson. And verse number 33. And they answered him.
Then answered him.
Now,
we be Abraham's seed.
Now, they don't know what he's talking about. These guys are confused on what Jesus meant by being free. This free statement got them thinking. Now, he said, and we were never in bondage to any man. See, we wasn't the same as they were in Egyptian bondage. And we're going to get more on that next week. So what happened in Egyptian bondage, you had Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the guy for Israel. Satan is got us. Pharaoh is a type of Satan. So then Moses becomes a type of Christ. So Moses is going to deliver the children of Israel from slavery or Egyptian bondage. So God sends Pharaoh, and Pharaoh delivers the people, and Satan and Pharaoh delivers the people across the Red Sea.
Moses.
And then when they crossed the Red Sea, they were then free from Pharaoh. That makes sense. And now when they leave, they gonna leave there free. And for us, that's a type of the world, which we got to live free from sin in the world, because there's another river called Jordan, which is Jordan, the river, before you can get to the promised land, and that's death for us. So you want to be free from slavery. Christ's going to free us, just like Moses freed them. He's going to be our deliverer, and when he delivers us, I'm going to come back to this, we will then be free. And we'll be free, but we'll be in the church. Amen. And we must live in the church in the world and stay free from bondage. So we can't go back to bondage, or we're going back to slavery. Now, sin is what imprisons us, and Jesus is the only one who has the key to open up the prison doors of sin. This makes sense? And so I'm coming. So if you understand this, I'm going to come back to that and show you how Jesus is going to deliver us, just like Moses delivered the children of Israel from what? Egyptian bondage or slavery. Now, Jesus, watch this. These guys, go back to 34, John 8, 34. Watch how Jesus answered them.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin.
All right, he's a servant of sin. So whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And then he said, And the servant
abideth not in his house. Forever.
But the son abideth
forever.
Now this gets into a little bit of a master-slave relationship. So in the master's house, the slave was a master. The slave was in the house, but the slave had no benefits. He was not an heir of, this is the master, which is, there's a son in the house, and the master and the son got a relationship that the master and the slave do not have. Make sense? So the slave is those of us in sin with no benefits in the house. And so Jesus telling them, I'm just trying to break it down where you understand it. Jesus telling them, the son always be in the house, but not the slave. Because the slave got to be freed from his master in order to be a son. And so, you know, they would take, in slave time, they would make them, they had the ones in the house, ones in the fields, and things like that. So there was some favoritism there on some of the slaves. But in the case of a family heir, Jesus said this, the son therefore shall make, the son in the house can
therefore
make the slave
free.
Not just free.
you shall be free indeed.
But truly free, really free, at this, you know, definitely free, no doubt about being free. The son in the house of the master has the ability to free the slave indeed. There's my title. Then you shall be free indeed. Is that right? So if we continue to choose to serve sin, we're serving the sin. The only freedom man can get from this prison of sin, from this bondage of sin, is he got to cross the Red Sea. And the Red Sea for us is baptism. So if you go back up, you look at Christ, you see when they crossed the Red Sea, God, and I just, this is in Exodus 15, 16, 14, 15, 16. You don't have time to read that, but just tell you a story. But when God delivered Moses, he told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Pharaoh didn't want to let his people go, but God sent plague and all that. And Pharaoh finally got said, want to let them go. So Moses tell them to follow him. And then when they got to the Red Sea, Moses told the people. He told the people who he had brought out of slavery on the Egyptians, because they were slave masters and taskmasters. He told them once he got to the sea to stand still and see what? The salvation of the Lord. So these people who was in Israelites who were in bondage had to stand still at the Red Sea. And God congealed that thing. That water came up. And on both sides, by a strong east wind, the water stood up in the Red Sea. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And so here we are, children of God, want to be free from slavery of sin. Then we, too, go through baptism, which is water. And at baptism, where we're free, and we end up in the Church of Christ. So what is Red Sea baptism for us? So if you want to be saved, you got to be baptized. In other words, if you want to be freed by the Son, who is Jesus Christ, then the Son, when he died on the cross, he said this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what? Dying in their sins. They've been freed. So now. To continue or not to continue living in sin is the decision that we make on our own. No one can force us to live in sin. It's a decision by us. And there are some sins that your addictions. There are addictions. They imprison people. There are addictions. The only way out of it is through Jesus Christ. Our only hope is in Jesus Christ. All of you in here got a sin sickness. All of us got a sin sickness. We got something going on with us. Jesus died for our sins so that we could be free from that. It is up to us. Jesus simply says, whosoever will, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Whosoever will, let him come. Take up the water of life freely. It's a decision. Only when we obey Jesus can we be free indeed. When we obey Jesus, we become sons of God. When you are sons of God, you're no longer a slave. You're a son of a servant of the master, and you have benefits that the same son has. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what freedom gives us from sin. Is making sense? So, Natalia, free indeed, man. Free at last, free at last. Amen. That's where that come from. Free at last. They talking about when that was a quote from, I think, Martin Luther King. Free at last, free at last. Thank God we're free at last. Because black folk was in slavery. And so we are all enslaved. Now let's get down to the depth of the thought. Is that sin has a way of chaining us down. So there are chains. This is where you got to find out your dark side. You got. What is it that if I don't change, I'm going to die in? And you know, everybody. And the good thing about God, Jesus, just like they did with the adulterous woman, it wasn't with sin; it was sin. So all of us now, you know, you got to get into your own real you. there's a dark side. Sometimes we choose to live in the dark side and we don't identify ourselves because there's no light in there. So now we got to get into what's your dark side. Are you living together and you're not married? You're fornicating? That's your sin unto death until you repent. Is it adultery? Is it adultery that you're doing? Is it something you're doing and you know you're married and you shouldn't be doing it? But you can't stop doing it because it's got chains on you and you're locked up by it. And you don't see your way out of it because you can't rethink it. Is it a drug addiction that you keep going back to that same drug? And every time you think you done kicked it, you go back to it again. And it's got you chained. It's your lustful flesh got you chained. You know you're not married, but occasionally you lay up, do whatever you need to do, come back, consider yourself repentant. You didn't. Because you wanted some more. And you go back again. You lay off for a week or two, and then you go do it again. Because you're addicted. You're chained. You're in your prison. Is it marriage? Or you're an abuser? A verbal abuser to your wife? An abuser, one who hits his wife, puts his hand on her, and you say, I'm sorry. But next time you get in an argument, you do it again. Because you're trapped. You got these chains on you. You're living in prison by that abuse. What is it in your life? You try to be more faithful. You know you ought to be coming to church. You know you ought to be coming to church. You know you ought to be coming more. And you know Brother Brooks ain't wrong when I say you ought to be coming back in the afternoon. You just don't want to do it. Because that's your chain. You know, if I heard that, they don't want me to preach by afternoon. So I said, I'm not going to stop doing that. I think you ought to put God first. You can take the chance, but not because your minister told you to. I think every time these doors open, you ought to be in Bible class. Amen, somebody. But you cannot take that chain off. You go to work 5 days a week on time to get a check, but you can't come study about your Lord on Wednesday for 1 hour. You're a chain, man. You're locked down in your situation. What is in your mind? What's going on in your head? What's the lockdown in the mind? What's keeping you from being faithful? What's keeping you from those thoughts? How are you controlling those thoughts? What do you do when you have those thoughts? What is it? Everybody in here ought to be saying it's from 8 to 80. You can be in your golden years and have this sin condition that you don't want to admit to. I wrote yesterday in the group meeting how we can stand at a crossroad and we got a choice. You can go this direction or you can go this direction. But we all stand at our crossroads. But sometimes there's a dark path you can go and there's a light path you can go. You stand there and you make a choice, you make a decision, and it's going to hit you in the face when you know that's me. What are you saying, brother? What we studied in Bible class is looking at the man in the mirror. The Bible identifies what slavery that you could be caught up in is called sin, and the Bible is our mirror. When we look in the mirror, we can see ourselves. That's me. That's me. That's my sin. And when I identify what my sin is, my only hope for freedom is the Son of God. You know, I believe we don't have no hope without drinking his blood. That's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. But none of us are going to repent until we see ourselves. That I am wretched. And you can't sing the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, until you can say, I am a wretch. I am a wretch without Christ. I can't do it without Christ. I know I need forgiveness. I know what my sin is. I've identified it. And my only hope is the Son in the house. Now, I don't know about y'all. That's what keeps me coming. Just to be straight up honest, I ain't no different from you. I got to fight that chain. I got to fight it, man. And that's why I want young adults to hear me say, you ain't got no fake preacher. I call me like I am. You can't come to this building looking for a perfect preacher or a perfect member in the church. We come to this building because all of us are sin-sick people. We need to be in the hospital. Our doctor is Jesus, and he's wrote the prescription in the Bible. And until we decide to follow his orders, we cannot be his disciples. This is one of them down-to-earth kind of sermons, isn't it? It's just reality, man. It's reality. When reality hits you, you got to face the demon. You got to face it. And you know, I tell you about the boy that was pushing his brother down the sidewalk in a wheelchair, and it tips over. And he can't get him up, and he started throwing rocks at cars. And nobody will stop to help him. So he pick up a brick, and he throw that brick, and he hit that brand new car. And that man in that car stopped. He backed up, and he asked that little boy, he said, why did you hit my new car with that brick? He said, sir, I have been trying all day long by throwing little rocks at cars, and nobody would stop. So I had to pick up a brick. You and I understand God got bricks. I tried to get your attention other ways. Now I'm going to take from you what you love. I'm going to hit you with the brick. Because without the brick, you are not going to see. You're going to die in your sins unless you stop doing what you're doing. Bricks. Death is a brick. Financial ruin is a brick. Things that hit hard and break you down and make you cry are bricks. And it could be a trusted friend that'll throw a brick, hit you in the face, hit you where it hurts. And in pain, and the pain don't go away. Pain don't leave because the brick had a purpose. Purpose of the brick was to inflict pain to bring you to your reality. Some of you have been hit with bricks. That's why you're in the church on a Sunday morning. Because our only hope is freedom by the Son. Question. What's the sin that's got you in chains? What's got you locked down in prison? Jesus simply stands at the door of the prison door, and he knocked him. He said, I stand at your door and knock. To our youth, these teenagers are dying and killing their mamas and daddies. Just heard about that one. He takes his daddy's pistol, which was a police officer, take his daddy's pistol, kill his mama and his daddy. Now he's going to death penalty. You know, he'll be in life in prison. But that wasn't it. That wasn't the problem. The prison sin was sin. What the young teenager did was sinful. That's why we need to support our youth ministry. We should give them what they need to save the yummies, to save the yums. I don't know why anybody kick against giving the kids what they need to get them out of sin. that we should do. We should support the youth ministry. Support doing what we got to do to save these children than our young adults. The youth, the young adults, you guys are 20 and up to 39. You're in trouble. When we look at the statistics of the young adults, you guys are dropping like flies. You don't even restore. You don't want to repent. You ain't even trying to retain. You barely come here. We got over 180 some, I think, total number of young adults. It's about 100 plus 80. It's maybe a third of them coming to worship. Where are those people at? They out there in them clubs. They doing that rap thing. They tied up. Amen. They tattooed up. They got their pants pulled down. They look like the world, and they're dying day by day in sin. And some of our young adults are here. I'm going to preach some of your funeral. If you don't make change. It's very popular. I'll be preaching. And that brother, that young man used to come to church every occasionally. Yeah, the problem is he came occasionally. He never got freed. Yeah. Bro, let me tell you, young adults, something. It ain't so hard to make a decision. You do it all the time. You go to school. You go to college. You get your degree. You go to job. You manage debt. You got a good ride. You got your apartment. You know you can put God first. We need to change the statistics of the young adults. What about the ma'ams, middle-aged adults? They coming out of young adulthood. Now they're starting to bring their children. But some of you still living together. Man, it's time to marry. You done enough of that now. I would say to the woman, why? If the brother won't marry, ask him, hey, he can't tell you he loves him. He can't say he loves you. Why are you giving him the milk? Why buy the cow if the milk's free? No, you tell him, if we're going to do this, let's do it right. You've been shacking for 10 years. Man, if she ain't by time, if she ain't going to be your wife by now, you need to leave her. I think about my nieces and nephews. I talk about them, too. My nieces and nephews, I call them lost y'all. See, I know y'all not, you still going to the club and this stuff. It's time for you to quit all that. Me going to a club, that's time out on this. Who's gonna bury next? I buried my nephew at 39. And I asked my family then, which one of us next in the family portrait? It might be Brother Brooks, but I ain't no fool. I don't come here because I'm perfect. I come here because that's the only hope I have. It's the only hope I have. How many of y'all coming for the right reason? You got to get it right. You got to get your head together on this thing, man. When you get your head together, you call a spade. Yeah, you call a wretcher. Paul said it like this, I'm closing. It was the idea. He said, oh, wretched man I am. Romans chapter 7. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? One of the forms of execution at that time, a live person would be tied to a dead carcass. And that body of sin would continue to penetrate and infect the live body until it poisoned it to die. So that's why Paul said, I'm tied to sin. Everywhere I look, it's all around me. When I would do good, I wanted to do right. I didn't do right. Evil was all around me. Paul said, how am I going to do it? It's like I'm tied to a body of death. Y'all, we all got to get there. That it ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna happen outside the body. It ain't gonna happen outside the church. You ain't gonna get there outside the church house. You got to come in the house where the Son is at. To get delivered from that dead body. If we don't get delivered from the dead body of sin, it's gonna continue to poison us. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you go to hell, that's where you go. You don't get to go to heaven. He said, Brother Brooke, that's exactly the analogy he's giving us. Right? analogy he's given us if we don't make change? Do we believe him? Because he said in the beginning of his lesson, Kirby, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Continuing in the word, it starts with baptism and then following directions. When I sin, I repent and confess and get it right. That's following the directions. It's not that you're going to be a perfect man or woman. It's that you have come into the house of the Son by baptism. You contact the blood of the Son. You're a child of God. When you obey the gospel, when you're baptized, you're a child of God. He puts you in the house. The house is called the Church of Christ. He's the master of the house. He's the head of the church. He has but one house. That house is his house. He is the head of the church. He's the master of the saved. And he's freed us from bondage. And he puts us in the house and give us privileges to be sons of God and heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All right. I'll tell y'all, I had somebody minister to me this. You never know when Brother Brooks needs ministering to. Picked up the phone, called one of my brothers. You know, and I talked to him about it. People, you know, take things I say. You know, I'm not talking to people individually every time I say something. You know, he had to remind Brother Brooks, you human. You put your pants on like us. When you talking to 200 or 300 people, you can't expect everybody to agree with you or understand what you just said. My joy, I don't want to see no one leave the Church of Christ. And I don't want to be the reason. And so he ministered to me to get me out of that state of mind that others put me in, like I was the problem. And I'm just being open and honest with you. When you stand up here and preach, you can say things, and if I come down your street, just wave your hand. Because I ain't going to come down your street every time. It's going to be somebody else's. And, you know, if you didn't come here to get the word, you got to continue in the word. And the word of God is quick, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the son of the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrow, and the intents of the heart. The word of God is what convicts us to preach like I'm preaching. Conviction, passion, knowing you ain't all you need to be. That's what it does. That's what the word of God is supposed to do to us. We ought not feel good about being a sinful person. We ought not feel good about hurting people. We ought not to feel good because I fell short. We ought not to feel good about it. We're supposed to be hurting. And that helps us. It helps us to make change. It helps us to ask God for forgiveness. It helps us to see ourselves. And it helps us to appreciate people who love you enough to see you human like everybody else. Those are the people you need in your life. See, some of you never ever going to be spiritual because you don't have spiritual company around you. When you got spiritual people around you, they'll coach you through it. Because they don't see you no worse than them. Galatians 6:1, the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore him in the spirit of meekness, considering who? Yourself. Treat them like you would want to be treated. Nobody, when they down, want to be stepped on and reminded. Nobody want to be reminded over and over. They already hurt. They need somebody to lift them up. Come on, man. We're in a race. You fail. Get up. That's what we do in the church, y'all. When people come here all right, they all have people reaching for them. How do you help them get up? Come on, man. We're in this race together. We ain't there yet. We got a finish line to cross. So, God so loved us. Because when he looked down, he seen a world full of wretches. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know who those world of people are? Every one of us. And so God sends his son, his son comes to live among men 33 years. He was the only one did it without sin. Because he was the son in the house. And God sent him to free the people. And he came and he knew after asking his father three times, let this cup pass, he had to go to the cross. Once he went to the cross, after being beaten, brutally spit upon and mocked as if he was the wretch, the spit should have been on us. The spit should have been on us. He should have slapped us. They should have hit us. He took all that for us. He wounded for our transgressions. But by the stripes from the whip came blood, and by his stripes we will be healed. That's what blood does, the blood of Jesus. It's what you contact in the baptism. And when you contact that blood, it washes away those sins, and it frees you. When you obey God, you can be freed from sin. And you keep coming. You keep doing what God tells you. You keep yourself real. Stay real with yourself. Face your demon. Identify your dark. And ask God to help you. And ask the people to pray with you. Pray with me, y'all. You got to ask them to pray with you. Because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. To our senior citizens, I went from the yummies, yams, mams, and sams. In your golden years, you should be faithful. You 60 and over, you 30 and 10. If by reason 40, God said maybe 80. You ought not to be locked up by nothing now. You ought to be free. God done gave you chance after chance after chance. I'm nearing 60 myself, 58 now. I used to thought that was an old man. Now I think he's a good looking young man. Well, maybe that's just the hope I have. You know? But then somebody came and said, "Bro, look at all that white stuff in your beard." I thought, "Oh man, almond tree, blouse, my head bald, trembling, going back, going out." I heard it a while ago when I was stumbling. Just broke the ice a little bit because I was pretty tough there, wasn't I? Here's the thing. I'm just being real. I was just trying to name some of the things that can take all of us down. We speak the truth in love. That's what we do. We speak the truth in love. And if you believe Jesus died on the cross and that you've been in prison since he's called, he's standing at your door right now and knock, say, come in, let me in. You come by hearing the gospel, that story of his death, burial, and resurrection, that crucifixion, the cruel death on the cross, knowing that blood washed away your sins by being baptized for the remission of sin. When you go down in the water, you contact the blood of Jesus, all them sins are washed away. When all them sins are washed away, he freed you from that prison of sin that you're in, and he freed you from spiritual death. And when baptism simply does this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So there it is. Once you sin, you're free by baptism. Then the Lord adds you to the true church, which is the church of Christ. You say, "Brother Brooks, I've been out there a long time. I just got a lot of stuff in my life." Well, you know what? Come like you are, man, just as I am. You come just like you are, don't matter where you're coming from or what sin you've committed. You could have murdered somebody. You could still come and be saved. Yeah. You may have been the biggest whoremonger adulterer in the world, but you can still be saved. Right. Might have been the biggest drunk in your life, but you can still be saved. Right. You might have been the biggest dope user in the city, drug dealer. All you got to do is come to Jesus, because all it was sin. I want to know who will come this morning by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart. Repenting of your sins. And man, if Jesus went through all that for me, I need to change my life. Confess before this altar, you believe he's the Son of God. And guess what we'll do? We'll baptize you, you'll cross the Red Sea. You'll get baptized. Everything you ever did would be freed from. You'll be forgiven by God. And then you just keep doing what Jesus tells you to do so that you can go to heaven. When the chariot crossed the Red Sea, he collapsed everything on Pharaoh and the army. All of them died in the sea. You kill Satan in baptism, you kill sin in baptism. And then you cross over into the promised land after you die. That's your Jordan River. Some of us going to cross the Jordan soon. We just don't know when.
That's true.
We don't know who. We don't know who's next. We don't know when it's going to be. But I can rest assured this, your time is coming. Where you want to go, to heaven? How many of y'all want to go to heaven? Amen. Want to go to hell? No, sir. Do we have to be real? Yes. Where we got to be? In the Son's house. What do we got to do? Be baptized. What we got to do next? Follow his word. Continue his word. Then you're free indeed. Then you're a disciple. Who want to be free? Who want to be free? I say what? Bring like you are. Come like you are. Let's stand and sing. I want those who want to repent, want to ask the church to pray with you. I want you to come and be freed again. If you need to get baptized, I want you to come. If you want that have fallen to the wayside, I want you to come. Yeah, whatever you want to come and do, come on and do it. Together we stand and sing a song.